Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week, we're always there. All the plays, Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Oh. Gormley, is your mic out?
Let's try it again. Now do you hear me? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, there we go.
My computer is going on our wild ride already. Welcome into this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're overloading my computer with different things today, and it's my assumption is it might just say screw this and quit. So hopefully that doesn't happen. If it does, though, I'll have to switch to the backup, and it'll take me about 30 seconds to drop through there. But how are things going? We want to first apologize. It's been kind of a weird week around the you were on a work trip. I have had a busy week as well, so we've kind of had to move around Jungle Juice. I know we were supposed to be on Sunday, and instead we're today. We're going to be recapping the draft, though. It's still been a week, and there's still fresh takes to be had.
Yeah, sorry about that, listeners. That's all I got.
And sorry. I had something yesterday to where I couldn't have gotten on at the normal time and so on. So, but we're here, and we're here now, and isn't that all that actually matters in the long run? At least that's what I think of when it comes to this. But on the show today, we are going to be recapping the NFL draft. We got a lot to discuss when it comes to that. There's also some more Bengals news as well. In that realm. But first off, we want to invite you to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all of the different ones. I do want to give a shout out to our good friend Lisa, who somebody had asked on Twitter saying, hey, what Bengals podcast do you listen to? And she said she likes listening to the Jungle Juice podcast.
Whoa.
And likes listening to Mo Egger as well.
Hey. We're in the same realm as Mo Egger.
And I knew that immediately when I heard that, you were going to be very, very happy by that. So
that, yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks
to
Lisa.
Thank you very much,
Lisa.
Doing
that. We very much appreciate that. But as far as news of the week, not a whole lot, but there was a big piece of news that I think we have to at least discuss that is not draft related. And to answer your question, Mick, that you just sent me, you should have it now. And it was Dax Hill gets the 5th-year option. They're going to be paying him now about $12.7 million for 2026. Right decision or wrong decision?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I thought we saw a great improvement in Dax's play in 2024. Could have been, you know, maybe not like a special 2024 season, but definitely some of the best outside corner play we've seen in a few years out of Dax Hill. He played really well. And I think it warrants a 5th-year option. We're still not sure where he necessarily fits in the, on the depth chart in the defensive back room. Is he going to be a nickelback? Is he going to be an outside corner? I hope he's not a safety again. But he was good at outside corner. I think that the goal is to maybe work him at nickelback. I think it's between him and Josh Newton. For that role. I'm okay with him coming back for a 5th-year here.
Yeah, I think it's the right decision for the Bengals. And plus, that that number is not that outrageous, I don't think.
No, especially he was drafted 31st overall.
Yeah, so I mean,
does that have a play into that or no?
Honestly, I think, because isn't the fifth year option like the franchise tag in a realm where it takes like the percentage of the top, or I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm talking out of my butt when it comes to that. But I think overall it's the right decision, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about Dax throughout the offseason. But we got to get to the draft because there's a lot for us to cover here on today's show. But first off, Mick, I don't know if you remember this, but last year on our show, we went through a mock draft simulator for the 2025 draft and just randomly picked guys.
Yes.
And
I do not remember doing that.
So do you want to know our classes? And let's see how we did.
I'm pretty sure I picked Abdul Carter, if I remember correctly.
In the first round, we both picked Abdul Carter.
Okay.
And I think the Bengals, like in this realm, picked like 20th. So, I mean, listen.
I think we got to do this again before we end the show tonight. Then we got to do a 2026 mock.
In the second round, I took Jonah Savanaea.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, listen. Second round, you picked Ashton Jeanty. Okay.
Okay. Oh, well.
Third round, I took Berrion Brown. He didn't go to the draft, and he transferred to LSU after a rough year at Kentucky. You took Bryson Nesbitt, who didn't get drafted.
North Carolina.
He did not get drafted.
Okay.
In the fourth round, we both took a guy by the name of Nick Emenwori.
Really?
Yes, in the fourth round. What a steal. In the fifth round, this is where it gets good. In the fifth round, I took Jaden Ott, a running back for California, who ended up averaging...
He would have been drafted pretty high in this draft, I think. I like Jaden Ott a lot.
He averaged 3.3 yards per carry last season.
Probably not.
Yeah, no. You took Thor Griffith, defensive lineman from Louisville. He went undrafted. Sixth round, we both took the sixth and the seventh. We both took guys that went back to school. I took Aaron Graves, a defensive lineman from Iowa. You took DJ Campbell, an interior offensive lineman from Texas. And we both took a guy by the name of Xavien Sory, a linebacker from Arkansas. But I have here from last year the clip of us talking after this. And this, I was listening to the show and I found it hilarious on our breakdown on our draft class. But at the very end, there is a little nugget that I think is going to make you chuckle quite a bit. So here it is from last year. Let's see if this works. Seeing 1 year from today in the 2025 mock draft, because that's what everybody wanted to hear from us with it, because it's never too early, is it?
Nah, this might have been a little early. I don't even know who any of these guys are that we just picked.
Oh, come on. You know a lot about Nick Emenwori. You picked him in the fourth round. You mean you're picking players that you don't know anything about?
Oh, boy.
You must be Duke Tobin.
Who's Abdul Carter? I don't even know who that guy is.
Who's Abdul Carter?
He's long. He's twitchy. I mean, he's athletic.
Edge rusher out of Penn State. I mean, there's enough pedigree there for me to be happy with that, you know, with Isaac and, Chop Robinson, Micah Parsons. So, yeah.
Good insight there, Mick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a great player for them. I mean, I'm looking right now. I mean, heck, in the last 2 years, he's had 11 sacks, an interception, 3 forced fumbles, 16 tackles for a loss. See, this is the content that they would come for back in the recent editions. He's a stud. So you heard it here first.
Replacement. There we go.
There we go. Any final thoughts on the Bengals 2024 NFL draft? You ready?
Wish me luck. I'm going overseas. Going to Punta Cana for a weekend.
Just wait.
Wish me luck. I don't know if I'm going to come back ever. So it might be nice knowing you.
I heard that, I was like, that is hilarious. I'm working on it. There it is. You don't ever want to come back from Punta Cana, do you? If you know, you know. Something tells me that trip didn't end up well.
To our listenership, we came back like the next day because the resort was a dump. You're like, we're not staying here.
Hilarious. As you can imagine, when I was listening back to that, I was laughing. And then when I heard you talk about Punta Cana and being really excited, I started laughing even more. Just based on just,
oh, no.
I might never come back Little did you know, you might never come back because you might have died there if you would have stayed another day.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
But okay. I thought that was funny to at least drop us in there. But now I think we got to get into the actual bones of the Bengals draft. And I think, you know, we started off with Shamar Stewart. Tommy, give him credit. He called it last week.
He did.
The Shamar Stewart pick, 6'5", 267-pound edge, originally from Miami, Florida. You know, nicknamed the Menace because of his nonstop motor and so on. You know, expected to be able to play multiple spots on the defensive line, graded well against the run, 88.2. But Mick, we talked about this last week. We talked about this, you know, during our preview shows. There's just not the production.
The production isn't there. 4.5 sacks in 3 years isn't going to cut it for a pass rusher. The good news is that's about as bad as it can get for a lack of pass rushing production. The ceiling's really high with Shamar Stewart. And also, like you said, with the run defense, that has clearly been the theme for the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2025 offseason. They've picked up guys like TJ Slayton, Oren Burks. They brought back BJ Hill on a 3-year deal. They have emphasized the run defense in this 2025 offseason. And you kind of have to, given the division you're playing in. You know, what has been the likely cause of us not getting to the playoffs the past couple of years? Well, we haven't been very good against the division. We went 1-5 in 2023. In 2024, we went 3-3, but it was kind of a sad 3-3, if you get what I mean. It wasn't a great 3-3. We won a game against Dorian Thompson Robinson. We won a game against a Steelers team that was clearly reeling in week 18. And who was quarterbacking the Browns in that other game? Do you remember? In the second game?
Wasn't it Jameis? No, it wasn't Jameis. It was...
Was it DTR again?
I think So you remember Deshaun Watson got hurt. So Deshaun Watson started that game.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then they brought
he did.
In DTR, and then they brought in Jameis in that game.
Okay.
They had all three of them in the first
the
game.
The second game was all DTR, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty
and,
sure.
And maybe
was.
They might have put in... I think they put in, what's his name? Jake DeLome, maybe in late, or Seneca Wallace. and Charlie, then Tim Couch.
Charlie Fry. Yeah. Let's just, we're not even going to do the draft. We're just going to name
random Browns. Johnny Manziel, right? Kaiser, right?
Sanders.
Yeah, right. But I think, you know, with this, with Shamar Stewart, we're going to look back at this in 5 years. And we could be playing, you know, how we just played the clip back. If we could play this clip back in 5 years, we could be saying, how in the hell did we get him where we did? Because he's turned into being one of the elite players in the NFL, because he has all of the traits to do that. Or I genuinely think in 5 years, this could go down as a Shamar Stewart, Cedric Oboye, you know, you're just throwing them into that. Yeah, you're throwing that into that realm, Billy Price and so on. That's what worries me it is a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And it worries me that the Bengals took a lottery ticket in the first round.
Yeah, it's the Amarius Mims of edge rushers, except Amarius Mims had good production. He just wasn't on the field ever when he played at Georgia. So, I mean, we got 2 years in a row of that particular area of the football field. And you have two projects on each side of one another, which is on both sides of the football in that respect, which is kind of cool. It's a little scary. I get it. I do think Shamar Stewart does have somewhat high of a floor given the run defensive production. 98th percentile in run defensive grade is nothing to sniff at. And again, that's what the rest of these teams in the AFC North are especially going to be doing. So I think I'm okay with the pick, honestly. The more I've watched the tape, it clearly shows his athleticism. Clearly shows. We already know about the perfect 10 out of 10 RAS score. And we've all watched the interview that he had, in his post draft press conference the next day on Friday. And I think the character really shows for the guy as well. I don't remember. I don't think he was voted a team captain, but he was. He definitely showed the attitude of a guy that clearly wants it, that knows that this isn't the peak of what he's going to be. You know, so at least the words were great coming out of his mouth. Now we just have to see the action take place over the course of the next few years.
He mentioned he's wearing number 97, and he mentioned, he said, I know what it means to wear 97 for a Bengals defensive lineman. You know, the last good one to do this was pretty darn good. And yep. He said something along the lines of, you know, Geno Atkins had 6 or 7 Pro Bowls. That's the record for a Bengals defensive lineman. And he says his goal is to break that.
Yeah.
And Mick, I hope he shatters it.
Remember the last first round draft pick that said, hey, I want to break records. I'm going to break records ASAP.
That was pretty. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah. He only won a triple crown last year.
Jamar Chase, who right now is getting paid an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see this pick and it was criticized a lot. But I mean, like Dane Brugler, you know, somebody who we respect a lot from The Athletic, does really good. Ninth overall prospect. So he feels a lot about him. Jack writes in and says, extreme cause for concern with an average coach, your defensive coordinator. Remember, this guy was head coach of the U with the best high school players at disposal and couldn't get it done. I know Marcus Freeman had more to do with the Irish defense than Golden. And listen, that might be the case.
You may be right, Jack.
You might be right, but Al Golden's our guy. And we
got to have a little bit of hope. We haven't seen him coach game as an NFL defensive coordinator yet for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if he's done it ever, right?
In the NFL, no.
No, okay.
He's not in the NFL. Because, I mean, prior to being the Bengals linebackers coach, do you know where there's your Bengals trivia question. Where was Al Golden and what position was he coaching? I don't know if you know this.
I don't.
He was the tight ends coach for the Lions.
Was this when this is pre Dan Campbell? Right?
I guess this was. This might have been Matt Patricia, which would explain a lot that Matt Patricia would have a linebackers coach coaching tight ends. Like that would make a lot of sense.
No.
But still, so that's kind of a fun little factoid about Al Gold. Second round pick Demetrius Knight Jr. 6'1", 235-pound linebacker, originally from the state of Georgia, went to South Carolina. Also was at Georgia Tech and Charlotte. Mick, take it away.
Yeah, so I'm kind of torn on this pick a little bit. On one hand, the production the past 2 years have been really good. Last year in Charlotte, well, in 2023 in Charlotte, 2024 in South Carolina. He might be the oldest prospect in this draft that's not Tyler Shuck. He's definitely up there in age. He's a six-year senior. Fun facts, he's D'Angelo Hall's cousin, who was a good cornerback for the Falcons, and apparently he's related to Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight.
Correct.
So
they asked him about that in the press conference, too.
Yeah, you know, so if he doesn't end up being a good NFL linebacker, maybe we'll see him perform at the Brady Center or something. I don't know.
He probably has some respect on him, right?
Yeah, he
respect
might.
His name, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
I couldn't even figure out how to spell that. Anyways,
we're only 18 minutes into the show and you already can't spell. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's not good. And the guy's a grown ass man too. Two children. Let me get their names real quick. Camilla Malachi, two children. He's been married for 2 years to his wife, Genzi. So, yeah, just some fun facts about Demetrius Knight. Sounds like we got a grown-ass man. Maybe, you know, somebody that maybe we could see plug and play right away at the linebacker position. Was a team captain last year, I believe.
Yeah, he was a team captain last year at South Carolina, despite literally walking in there.
Yeah.
Which... that means something. You know, Al Golden said that the recommendations they've gotten on Demetrius Knight Jr. was as good as anything they've ever gotten on anyone.
Yeah.
As far as just the actual person, you know, described as a weight room addict and was named Lifter of the Year twice at Georgia Tech, rather.
Yeah.
You know, the grading, you know, 82.8 overall grade PFF, 85.4 run defense grade, 11% missed tackle rate, which I don't think that's for a linebacker. That's not terrible in the SEC. You know, 11%. That's not awful. It's not great, but it's not horrible, I guess.
No. And against the run, I believe it's only a 7% missed tackle rate, which is the 83rd percentile. Yeah. Good run stop rate, 68th percentile. And then honestly, given his size, are we going to maybe see him in this Viper position a little bit from Al Golden? He does have some pass rush snaps. I think from the tape that I've watched from Demetrius Knight, he seemed to be able to diagnose plays in the backfield pretty well, honestly. And then the coverage grades have been pretty darn good as well. He had a 74.9 coverage grade. That's the 90th percentile amongst linebackers. 8% forced incompletion rate. That's 77th percentile. And then a 65.1 passer rating while targeted. That is the 92nd percentile. So there's really not a facet of his game that he's weak in. I think he's a guy that can be pretty versatile. Like I just said, he's got good size. He might be able to be rushed along the edge a little bit at various times or at various points in the course of games. The only hang up I have on the guy is it's taken a while for him to kind of come out here. He didn't start having production on the field until he left Georgia Tech and it was a fifth-year senior going to Charlotte. So
do we care about the age part?
Not necessarily. I want a guy that's going to make use out of his 4-year contract here.
I agree. You're not thinking about, you aren't drafting guys thinking about 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the line.
Yeah.
You want a guy who's going to help you win. And especially when you've got a quarterback like Joe Burrow, the window is now.
Yeah.
The window is now. So I the age stuff, I don't know. I just, like, I understand where you're coming from with that. But the people who were just immediately writing him off with the age, that is it. Riley asks, didn't someone have him as one of their best players in the draft? That I don't know.
Bengals did.
Yes. The Bengals loved him.
Clearly.
They loved him.
Clearly enough to draft him. Also has extensive special teams snaps as well during his 4 years at Georgia Tech. So, I mean, even if he's not starting right away at the linebacker position, I mean, they're going to get him in on some reps there at the very least.
In the third round, they went to Georgia, where they love going, and they took Dylan Fairchild, a 6'5", 325-pound left guard from Georgia. Thing about Dylan Fairchild is the dude Riley is not talking about Dylan Fairchild, but this dude was a dog, especially wrestling. In his high school career, Mick, he went 69-0 over his last two seasons.
Oh, geez.
69-0. Nice, right?
Yeah, nice.
He was listed on the freaks list. You know, we talked about that for all of his weight room stuff. His quote was, he said that he is a gritty competitor who wants to make it be a bad day for his opponent. I like that. You know, played in all 28 games last two seasons, fought through injuries. The player comp from Dane Brugler, and this is where I find it really interesting, is Wyatt Teller. So you're thinking of Wyatt Teller.
No, I'll take that.
But think of it this way. Where was Wyatt Teller playing his football?
Where Scott Peters coached.
Exactly. And Wyatt Teller's style apparently is very similar to what Dylan Fairchild is as well, which matches what Scott Peters teaches. So this is like the perfect meshing point and fit for a Bengals offensive lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the guys I was pretty high on when we were doing our day 2, day 3 picks. Can't remember which one he was in for us, but in one of those two episodes, he's a guy that I highlighted. I think the production was better than Tate Ratledge last year in terms of the grading. I had an 87 pass block grade, 71.8 run block grade, one sack allowed in his entire collegiate career with a 99% pass block efficiency rate. That gets it done. But he's tough too. He's battled through injuries at various points the past couple of years, but still has played in all 28 games over the past couple of years as well. So I think you're going to get a guy that's durable, somebody that's been overlooked because you had guys like Tate Ratledge and Jared Wilson in the draft on that offensive line with you. And yeah, I think he's a guy that's probably going to plug in and start right away, potentially. I there's a really good chance that he is.
I love to hear Riley. It's a typo. As Pollock would say, he's a real glass of water. He's a glass of water, you know, glass eater. I would just like to think that Frank Pollock is now just talking about glass of waters instead.
Honestly, they kind of looked like glass of waters.
Yeah.
And some of them did.
So a couple of quotes here to bring you as well. Dan Pitcher, you mentioned the guard position. He said his direct quote was, left guard is absolutely his to win. There you go. And when asked about blocking for Joe Burrow, he said, and I quote, it's the biggest honor of my life, and I'm just super excited to do it.
Get that man a samurai sword now.
Hell yeah. Love me some Dylan Fairchild. Love this pick. This might be one of my favorite picks that the Bengals made.
Yeah. I'm a
really, really good picks. Really, really good pick. Fourth round, day three. The Bengals double up on linebacker. I don't know that we necessarily had that on the bingo card with taking Barrett Carter, a linebacker from Clemson.
Funny little tidbit here. The last time the Bengals double dipped a linebacker, Al Golden was the linebacker's coach.
In fact, they didn't just double dip. They triple dipped.
They triple dipped a linebacker. And you kind of need it too. I mean, the linebacker depth chart's starting to look, you know, before the draft is starting to look a little thin here because you have Jermaine Pratt who is
No, you don't.
Waiting for any opportunity to get out the door.
Yeah, he's gone.
So you really don't have Jermaine Pratt. So you really have Logan Wilson. You have Mumajong Mehta, who is on the last year of his deal. I think they only sign 2-year deals when they are undrafted free agents that sign with the team. You have Shaka Hayward. He might be in that same category. ADG's gone, right? ADG
is gone. Yes.
Oren Burks is in town. Signed a 2-year deal, I believe.
Yeah. Don't forget about Joe Giles Harris.
You have a camp body and Joe Giles Harris. So, it's probably made sense to double dip at the linebacker position. And Barrett Carter is somebody that was tabbed, I feel like, before the start of the college football season to be a fringe first round pick, early second round pick. So in 2023, your second team all ACC, missed one game with an ankle injury. In 2024, third team all American, first team all ACC, led the team in tackles, did have a touchdown, defensive touchdown. The grading, 86th percentile in run defensive grade, 64th percentile in run stop rate with an 8.6%. The coverage grade's bad. 10th percentile in coverage grade. It's not great. 5th percentile in pass rating while targeted with a 131.6. I think the traits are there. The guys had the only red flag that I kind of see on Barrett Carter is that I don't know if we've seen a great season from him in all aspects of his game, right? And I feel like maybe we've seen him have a little bit of a dip in recent years. At least that's the notes I have on him right now. I'm pulling him up again just to make sure I'm not sounding crazy.
Last season, he had 82 tackles, 10.5 tackles for a loss, 3.5 sacks, and a rushing touchdown. He did have a rushing touchdown. They put him in one play on senior day to play.
So it wasn't a defensive touchdown. It was a rushing touchdown.
It was a rushing touchdown, yes. He had a rushing touchdown last year. You do have a Bengals connection, too, with him, and he went to high school with DJ Turner. You might have seen that the Bengals posted a picture of them FaceTiming each other right when he got drafted, but he is another one of these A-plus character guys. You know, he said when asked about how he is a leader, he described himself as saying, I lead with love. That's how I do it. I think that's important, and I think that's been something that the Bengals have continuously done over these last couple of years is just trying to find guys like this. And I think they're reverting back to finding A-plus human beings.
Stole the words right out of my mouth there. We're back to A-plus character drafts, and I'm honestly okay with it. I mean, that's I think that's
really Mr. Jermaine Burton.
That's when the locker room is the best. Okay. When you have guys like that all throughout the roster.
Who you want to play for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And and maybe we'll see Jermaine Burton turn around at some point.
Listen, this
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This also does. I found it hilarious that in all of these press conferences, you know, all of the linebackers, you know, Al Golden was up there talking and so on. Jermaine Pratt did not get mentioned even once. You know, he says, oh yeah, we got Logan Wilson, you know, Logan does this. It was just hilarious. Like Jermaine, it was clear, like, Jermaine Pratt could not have gotten like any less of an endorsement. Like the opposite of an endorsement was pretty much what he got from the Bengals during that sequence. I found it kind of funny.
He gone.
In the 5th round, Mick won our contest by correctly predicting Jalen Rivers for this.
We did good.
Of course, Riley wants Burfix and Pac-Man's back. Of course he does. That explains everything. Jalen Rivers, versatile lineman from Miami of Florida, 6'6", 319 pounds. When you look at the grading, 78.8 as a pass blocker, 65.8 as a run blocker. But, the grading can tell you some things, but I always like this stat is, okay, how many sacks did you give up? He gave up one sack and 348 pass blocking snaps last year. That to me is almost better than grading to an extent. You know, grading obviously can be a little construed, I guess.
It's all line test, right?
Yeah, somebody could grade a little bit differently. But what Dan Pitcher said, and this again fits into the same thing that we were just talking about, quote, you're not going to find anybody that says a bad word about the guy.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
And congratulations. You won our contest by correctly predicting him.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just had all this inside knowledge pent up inside me.
Lying sack of crap.
Getting the fifth round draft pick here.
Last year was me. This year it's you.
It is. I do like the Jalen Rivers draft pick a lot. The position versatility is one thing. You have both snaps at guard and at tackle. It looks like he primarily played on the left side. Which will be kind of interesting with Dylan Fairchild too, because I'm pretty sure Dylan Fairchild also played primarily on the left side. So I guess we'll see if we're going to see both of these guys starting. Are we going to see Lucas Patrick taking the right guard position? Are we going to see Ted Karras slide out and Matt Lee slide in? We're not sure yet. It's good to have that position versatility. I think this guy may end up being your Cody Ford replacement at the end of the day, given that versatility. We're not sure if Cody Ford's going to be back after this year. He's been perpetually signing one-year deals the past.
I think Cody Ford signed a two-year deal, didn't he?
Signed a two-year deal?
I believe he did.
Could be wrong. Okay, we got it for 2 years. Much another
2 years, $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at this and see if there is a...
There's probably an out after the first.
It'd be saving 3.1, 500 in dead cap. So that's pretty much a
one-year deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, 3 year starter at the U. They primarily played in an offense that's very similar to what the Bengals run. It's very RPO heavy. It's an air raid offense. I'm definitely happy with the pick, not only because I'm right, it's because I think Jalen Rivers is a good football player.
Yeah, after whiffing last year on all 10 picks, you got one out of 6 this year. So, good job. We're doing well. That's why the people come and listen to our podcast. They want correct information. Like, we start talking about Abdul Carter again? Who the hell's Abdul Carter?
We're going to do this 2026 draft before we leave tonight.
Oh, God. I almost was going to want to do a lot of research so that I could not have that happen. And then in the 6th round, they take running back Taj Brooks from Texas Tech. Talk about production. He's got a lot of production. Rushed for over 4,500 yards, 45 rushing touchdowns in college. Voted as a team captain, and his coach said He is as good of a person as there is on the planet. Does that fit maybe into a common thread throughout all of these draft picks? Probably. I don't know that there really was a running back in this draft that was a better complement to Chase Brown than Taj Brooks. Other than maybe like Quinshon Judkins. But like if you're talking about a day three running back, I don't know that you could have gotten a more perfect marriage of this. Because you know what I see when I see Taj Brooks? I see Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Like good pass blocker.
It might be long-term Samaje Perine here.
And if I'm Taj Brooks, I am Samaje Perine's best friend. I am his glue. I'm not leaving that dude's hip. I am learning everything about being a running back.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this pick a lot. He's not a guy that we really talked about during the draft process. Wasn't really on our radar here, but he's here. High school teammates with Tyler Guyton, 2023 first team All Big 12, led the team in rushing in 2024, had second team All Big 12 honors, missed a game with an arm injury, was a team captain. Good in pass pro, and that's where the Samaje Perine role really, really shows. You know, that was a note from Dane Brugler's strengths on Taj Brooks. The grading, 65.6 pass block grade. That was 71st percentile amongst running backs. Another tidbit of information here. Number four in rushing yards in Big 12 history, only behind Cedric Benson,
pretty good list.
Ricky Williams, and Darren Sproles.
Is that a good list to be behind?
It's a good list to be behind, but then that's where one of the cons come in. Is the usage. He's had a ton of usage over the past few years. We're not expecting him to have a whole lot of usage in the NFL, I don't think. You know, Chase Brown is still RB1. Chase Brown is still going to be on the field way more than Taj Brooks and Samaje Perine and whoever else. Grading.
Zach Moss.
I forgot Zach Moss is on the team.
And they restructured his contract, too, to make it to be where he's probably going to be on the Bengals next year. Like, they have their running backs.
They do.
And really what Taj Brooks is going to be, in my eyes, is he's going to be a better Travion Williams.
Yeah.
A better Travion Williams. A guy that you can slide in there, and he can actually carry the ball maybe more efficiently than maybe the faith that you would have had in a Travion Williams.
Yeah. And he definitely has the usage that backs it up. I mean, I don't think Travion really had the same usage that he had.
He had a lot, though. He had a lot at A&M.
He did.
He had a lot. Yes. Because I remember loving him coming out because I just love watching him at A&M. And I think he might have torched Kentucky one game. So I was like, screw this guy. I'd much rather have him on my team. But I like this pick a lot, Taj Brooks.
Yeah.
Are you looking up Travion Williams stats or no?
Yeah, but I can't find them on here. I don't know.
They've probably been wiped for the face of the earth. Texas A&M probably doesn't want to remember.
Well, no, they should have.
Travion's a good guy. He lives up the street from my parents.
Oh wait,
at least lived up the street. I don't know if he still does now that he's no longer a Bengal. Undrafted free agents. Travion.
Ah, I'm spelling his name wrong.
Well, that usually does help. It usually does help you. We've learned today that you can't spell on the show.
Travion Williams only had 600 rushing attempts.
Okay, that's still quite a bit. That's still quite a bit at A&M.
That is. Okay, it is. It's only 200. Still quite, 200 yeah, less.
The undrafted free agents. Let's drop through some of these names. I don't know if you have many notes on any of these guys. I took some very small notes on a couple of them. You've got Kwali Conley, who is a running back from Arizona. Last year, rushed 150 times, 744 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Peyton Thorne from Auburn was their quarterback. Not great, Bob. 43 interceptions across his career. I know I have a friend who's an Auburn fan. He sent me a message and said, whoop. Don't love that. And I was like, yeah, probably not. William Wagner. Or did you want to talk about Peyton Thorne?
I was going to say, I mean, he's going to be your practice squad QB4 on this depth chart here. I mean, he's not, you know, you got to, I think I'll take
Thorne is playing meaningful snaps to the Bengals. Something has gone horribly, 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 horribly wrong.
I'll take it over us trying to just find a local guy all the time. You know, like the Drew Plitz of the world.
Oh, shout out to Drew Plitz.
Even though Drew Plitz did look okay, you know, at various points during preseason.
Rocky Lombardi. Remember from last year?
Did he play any snaps last year preseason?
Yeah, I think they put him in like the last drive of like the second game or something, and I think he threw a pick or something.
Oh well.
William Wagner, the top-rated long snapper by Dane Brugler. Intriguing. Sounds like Cal Adamitis is going to have some competition.
Sounds like your jersey curse is still a thing.
It is. It sounds like it is. But luckily, I'm okay with the jersey curse happening to the long snapper. Like, I can live with that. I can live with that. That's why I've never bought the Joe Burrow jersey. I can't do it to him. I'll wait until he retires, and then I'll gladly wear my Burrow jersey. Jordan Moore, a wide receiver from Duke. 31 contested catches at Duke. Drop rate is 6.8%. A couple of stats that I have on him there. And stop me if you have anything on these guys. I'm going to continue just ripping through these.
No, you just keep rolling along.
Caleb Etienne, an offensive tackle from BYU. This is an interesting guy.
He had a ton of draft visits, by the way. He had a ton of top 30 visits.
Massive. 6'8", 320. First team all Big 12 at BYU last year. He graded just very average. Like, it was hilarious. Like, just, he is the epitome of average when you look at this. Which,
just like the
honestly,
60s. Across the board.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that's not like sometimes average is okay. You know, especially as a backup offensive lineman.
My wife tells me that every day.
Does she?
No.
Seth McLaughlin. Here's the wild card here. Maybe was one of the steals of undrafted free agent. I mean, you look, Dane Brugler had him as a third or a fourth round grade. Won the Remington Trophy, but is dealing with an Achilles injury. So who knows as to when he will exactly be ready to play. But between Ohio State and Alabama, doesn't really get much better than that. 1,200 snaps at center. One sack in 1,200 snaps. That's darn good. Darn good. This could, if he heals, this could be a steal in undrafted free agency for the Bengals.
Yeah, and I think it gives Scott Peters and Zach Taylor a lot of flexibility on this offensive line. You know, say if Seth McLaughlin comes back from this Achilles injury and he's potentially ready to go at some point during the season, well, Matt Lee's not going anywhere, I don't think. So you have your two centers that gives you some versatility to maybe move Ted Karras to guard and get the best possible lineup out of those five guys that you can.
I love this pick. Love it. It's a great pickup and a great signing for the Bengals. Shout out to Duke Tobin and his staff for getting on it right away.
Yeah.
Howard Cross, defensive tackle from Notre Dame. Played the second most games in Notre Dame history. That's a lot. Really consistent grading for him as well. You know, just very consistent throughout his years. And listen, A Notre Dame guy coming in undrafted free agency, I think this is an Al Golden guy.
Well, yeah, definitely is an Al Golden guy.
No, I mean, what I'm meaning, you know what I'm meaning by that. I'm meaning that he is a guy that Al Golden has said, I want this guy.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, he was a guy I was talking about for day three picks as well. I mean, I think on the consensus board, he was hovering around a fifth-round draft pick, so getting him in undrafted free agency is definitely a steal. You know, definitely some insurance in that interior defensive line. Probably a guy you can store in the practice squad. I like the pick a lot.
Eric Gregory, a defensive tackle from Arkansas. Dane Brugler had him as a sixth or a seventh round grade, but says he is a backup, is what he kind of described him as. But hey, you need backup defensive tackles. You need that. So maybe he's a guy that can come in there, especially when that defensive tackle room is light. There's not much in there. There is a lot of room for both of those guys to potentially make the team.
Yeah, he's a good run defender, too. Graded in the 80s each of the past two seasons, only a 5% missed tackle rate in 2024, which is pretty stellar.
And you know what I'm going to say, too, right? In the SEC. 5% missed tackle rate in the SEC. It means something. A couple other names. I don't really have much information on these guys just because they're there wasn't a lot. Shaquan Loyal, a safety from Rutgers.
I heard he's really good.
Really? Do you have a breakdown on him?
No.
Cole Taylor, a tight end from West Virginia. Rashad Owens, a wide receiver from Oklahoma State. And Jamoy Mays, a wide receiver from Cincinnati. So you get a local guy in there. Apparently he was a guy that stood out to them at their local pro day. So that's right. The Bengals undrafted free agency class. As a whole, though, we were talking last night or earlier in the week or something about grading a draft. And I'm not a huge fan of grading drafts just because I think it's kind of silly because you don't know how these guys are going to adjust into the NFL. Like, you don't know if this is a slam dunk. You have no idea. I mean, we can look back throughout the years of guys that probably everybody said would that was drafted in the top five that was going to be a great pick that was awful, and vice versa. Somebody who was drafted in the sixth. I mean, hell, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Tom Brady was drafted 199. You know, you get all of those examples throughout the board. So you really got to wait a couple of years for that. Barnett guy was the international guy, defensive tackle. Yeah, I didn't have him on my list, Riley. But as a whole, how are the vibes for the Bengals draft class?
I mean, I'm going to put it right in the medium right now. I don't think, you know, I saw the report cards from the consensus of all the draft experts that are out there and whatnot. We had the lowest rated consensus grade. I don't think it was necessarily that bad. I honestly like this draft class more than I liked the 2024 draft class. When that came out last year, I think we got a lot of high character guys in this draft, which I think speaks volumes, you know, trying to get back to Zach Taylor's trying to get the team back to its roots in that sense. And I think they all came at positions of need where they could potentially contribute right away. I mean, Shamar Stewart, depending on the what happens with Trey Hendrickson, he could be starting right away. And he could be starting right away even if Trey Hendrickson's on the team this year. Same with Dylan Fairchild. He could be coming in right away. I would assume Jalen Rivers will probably be the seventh offensive lineman that comes off of that, that's in that rotation there if anybody goes down.
You need that. Yeah, need that. They need a depth. They need depth in a bad way in offensive line.
Yeah. And we could be seeing Taj Brooks in that Samaje Perine role at some point, even though he's going to be probably not playing as much to start out. So I like the draft. I think these guys could contribute right away. A good sum of them can. I'm not too mad about it.
So much of this, though, is going to hinge on Shamar Stewart.
It is. As it should for any NFL draft. Yeah, it's all going to hinge. On whether you can hit your first round pick. The rest of the picks are bonuses.
Because you're going to be watching like Derek Harmon, guys like that, Nicky Minwori, you know, guys that the Bengals passed, which a lot of teams passed on Nicky Minwori, Malachi Starks, those, some of those guys that we talked about throughout this time of that's how, I mean, you still think back to the 2018 draft, you know, Bengals take John Ross. Who's the next pick? Patrick Mahomes. So you have those examples throughout this history, and it will have to, or I guess Ross was 17, wasn't he? Ross was 17, wasn't he? And then Billy Price was 18. I think that's right.
Yes.
Regardless, you know what I'm talking about. Mahomes was the pick after. You're going to be compared to all of that. And Shamar Stewart, it could be one of those things that in 3 or 4 years, we're looking back and it's like, how did we get him at 17? You know, like he should have been a top five pick. And I hope that is the case. I hope that is the case. That's the only thing that we can hope.
That's the best case scenario right there.
Okay, are we doing this 2026 mock draft simulator?
Why not? Oh, why not? Yeah, let's just
okay,
do
so
it.
I'm just going to Google it. You know what? Okay, there's one up here with Pro Football Network. We'll just do that one. Or do you want PFFs? I think only is the first three rounds. Or do you want to do that? Or you want to do the full seven?
I'm doing, no, NFL mock draft database.
Okay, we'll do that one. Okay, so we're gonna start it off here, and we're not gonna say anything. So 2026, we're gonna do all seven rounds. I'm gonna fast it up here, and I'm gonna enter the draft room. Here I go. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and start it, and we aren't gonna say anything. We're just gonna draft it really quick and see who we all can come up with. Okay. Oh boy, I don't know any of these guys' names. Okay, we'll go with that guy. Sounds like a pretty good pick. I know a lot about him.
Who are you going with?
I can't tell you.
Are we just going to do these real? Okay.
Yeah, last year we didn't. No trades. Don't accept any trades. That's going to just make it a little bit messy.
I'm not doing any trades. I fumbled around with this mock draft simulator real quick, so I'm back on it.
Okay. Let's see here. Sure. How about this guy? We'll take that. Oh, they didn't like that pick. They gave me a B+. Oh boy, they gave me a B+ in my second round pick. Oh gosh, I don't like this. This is such a terrible idea. okay, we'll take a running back. Let's do that. Okay, we'll do that. Oh boy, this is such a terrible idea. See, we're gonna be playing this back next year and probably having the same conversations on like the Nick Emenwori thing in the fourth round is hilarious to me. Like, he's the guy that you loved almost more than any prospect in the draft, yet we got him in the fourth round and we didn't know who he was last year, and that's just kind of funny how that turns around. Okay, what round are you in now?
I'm in the third round. I got 2 A pluses so far.
I've got 1 A plus. So that's how about this guy? That seems like okay. I just like, got my.
Are you only A+ picking team. SEC guys? Is that what you're doing?
I've gotten 2 SEC guys, 2 I've SEC guys, one. And I've 3 one Big so Ten. Far. Oh boy! You know what? I'm gonna take this guy just for you, Mick. I'm gonna take him just for you.
Is it a Marshall guy?
It is. I'm taking a Marshall guy.
I don't even know who it would be.
Well, you're about to find. Oh! Oh, boy. You know what? We're going to take him. I don't know this guy at all, but I like his last name. Okay. I'm done with my draft. Okay. I'm done
all
with
right.
my
draft. All right. I'm in my fourth round. Give me a second here.
Okay. I know a lot about. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I know my second round pick. I think I know him. But I don't think I know any of these other guys in this list. In fact, I want to look up my first round pick here.
I only know my first round pick. It's only because he's a skill position guy.
Okay, mine is not a skill position guy. So we went somewhere different. I mean, this guy was decent last year. Okay. So with the first round pick, while you're doing it, let's just talk about our first round pick. So my first round pick, the 25th pick, Cincinnati Bengals selected. I picked Danny Dennis Sutton, an edge from Penn State. I have to keep the tradition going. Every year, I'm just going to take the edge from Penn State because that clearly seems to work. So, Danny Dennis Sutton, who'd you take in the first round of your 2026 mock draft?
Mostly because he was still on the board and he was number 17 on the consensus board, but I went with Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame.
Okay. I saw a mock draft that had that to the Bengals from CBS earlier in the week.
Really?
Second round pick, okay. I took Nick Harbor, a wide receiver from South Carolina.
Okay.
I got a B+.
And you got a B+. What is it because you were just wanting to go SEC there? Is that why?
I think I'd heard of him. That's why I picked him.
Okay. My second round pick, I went Mansoor Delane, the corner out of LSU.
Got any insights? No?
No, but he's an SEC corner, and unlike your SEC second-round pick, he was an A-plus draft grade for me.
I got a B+. I did get an A-plus in my third-round pick for taking Justice Haynes, a running back from Michigan.
Any notes on him?
He's great. He's runs great. In between the tackles. He's hard in between the tackles. He runs hard between the tackles. Who'd you take in the third?
Zane Durant, the defensive tackle.
Oh,
out of
what a
Penn
terrible
State.
Pick! What a terrible pick! That guy stinks.
Did you pick him?
No, I don't. This is going to be one of those that we pull back, and he's going to be a top 5 pick next year. Now that I've said that, he's going to be the next Aaron Donald. We're going to look back. Freezing cold takes is going to get me. In the fourth round, I took just because I liked this guy's name, Oscar Delp, a tight end from Georgia.
Hey, he was supposed to be drafted this year.
Did you take him?
No.
Oh, who'd you take in the fourth?
Our another guy that was on the on draft boards before he went back to school, R. Mason Thomas, the edge rusher out of Oklahoma.
Okay, I went with Kamari Ramsey, a safety.
Hey,
from
we got
an A+ on that. Look at us.
Hey,
In the sixth, I hate this pick. Hate this pick with a passion. But I took cornerback Josh Moten from Marshall. Do you even know who that is?
I recognize the name, but okay. that's about it.
Okay. You're the Marshall guy. You're at least supposed to know these guys.
You know, with the transfer portal nowadays. Hell, Marshall just lost like most of their football team from last year.
I'll text my cousin. I'll get the lowdown on Josh Moten. Okay. Who'd you take in the sixth?
Interesting name. Tree, as in the tree, as in a tree. Tree Babelade, Babalade.
I think you nailed that.
Tree Babelade. That'd be kind of cool.
What is he?
Offensive tackle out of South Carolina.
Interesting. My seventh round pick, I'm taking a quarterback. You know, Jake Browning might not be back. And I mean, when I think of quarterback powerhouses schools, the first one that comes to mind has to be Iowa, right? And I'm taking Mark Gronowski, not Gronkowski, Gronowski, quarterback from Iowa.
South Dakota State quarterback, if I remember correctly.
I have no idea. He might.
Yeah, no, he was really good at South Dakota State in the FCS, at the FCS level. He was, if I remember correctly, I think he was the most sought after FCS guy in the transfer portal.
Yep, you are right. You're right. Look at you go. Two-time FCS National Championship Game MVP. So heck, maybe that was a good pick. Why would he pick Iowa?
Because that's his magnum opus, dude. If you could go to Iowa and you could produce at the quarterback position, like you're going to be the number one overall draft pick next year.
Touche. Okay, touche. Who was your last pick?
I don't know if he's related to James Betcher, but I went Bryce Betcher, the linebacker out of Oregon.
I think he is.
Is he really?
Bryce Betcher? Is that what you said? I think he is. Two T's, right? Oh, no, it's not spelled the same way.
Oh, it's not?
James Betcher does not have an O in his name.
Oh, I thought he did. Okay, no relation. No relation. But if it did, it'd be kind of funny for Al Golden to draft James Betcher's son.
Oh, that would be funny. So there you go. That's how the Bengals are going to draft next year. In 1 year, we're going to look back and sound like idiots in 1 year. This will be our tradition every year. We'll do it, and we'll pull the clip on how we're idiots. Now, are you going back to Punta Cana now?
No.
I'm
going to Myrtle Beach.
Oh, boy. Then you're going to stop in Gatlinburg on the way home?
And then we're going to go to Daytona.
Oh, boy.
Branson, Missouri after that.
We'll be back to Wednesday next week, and we'll have one of our favorite shows the entire year, our mock schedule show. I can't wait for this. It might be the dumbest show we do all year, but I had more fun with that than I probably should have last year.
And we got to have fun during these trying
the dog days of summer. So what we'll do is next Wednesday, so Wednesday the 7th, Mick and I are going to predict what the Bengals schedule is going to look like. I think we tied last year, if my memory is right. Like, I think we got a couple of games right. So we'll see how that turns out this year. And we will do that next week. And then the Wednesday after, we'll have our live reaction to the Bengals schedule, make our first projections on records, and so on. Any parting thoughts?
No. Looking forward to the schedule next week. Got some things planned for the summer to kind of fill out all this dead time. Talked about maybe grading some of these prior drafts that the Bengals have had to you know, just seeing where these guys are now, was it a good draft? Was it a bad draft and whatnot? So, got some interesting comments or content coming up for you guys. And
we'll have another joust too.
We'll have another joust at some point, which is one of our favorites.
Or maybe multiple. I don't know. Maybe we'll do multiple jousts.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we'll figure it. I've always loved, and I don't know, maybe we make it a goal next year. I think it would be awesome to get like four media reps to do it. Like Jay Morrison, James Rapine, because I could see those two doing it and seeing if we could Joe Goodberry or something and seeing how they can compete and doing it that way. Or even we make like James Rapine or Jay Morrison. Jay Morrison, I feel like, would be the Schwab, you know, very in-depth, knowledgeable guy from the area. And, or I guess, are you supposed to be the Schwab?
What does that mean?
From Stump the Schwab? That's right. You never watched that show, did you?
No.
I cannot believe you never watched that show. I literally cannot believe that. Here's your homework. Literally, you need to
watch Stump the Schwab videos.
YouTube a Stump the Schwab episode. You'll love it. Like, you will genuinely very much enjoy it. Plus, do you know who the host of Stump the Schwab was?
Charles Schwab.
No.
Oh, no.
Cool as the other side of the pillow. Stuart Scott. So yeah, anytime that we can do a Stuart Scott thing, we could do that. All right. Well, it looks like we might have to hop off because there's a big college football game about to go on in our online dynasty. So we gotta hop off and watch that. You've got Morgan against Riley. Morgan.
Okay. Yeah, go Vols. Morgan. Wait, not go Vols. Go
Doors. Doors.
Go Commies.
Yeah, the Commodores. So until next time, Mick, have a great week. Remember, follow us on our social media channels. 5-star rating that way. And hey, hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.